let's get ready. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So that being said, we've got to make sure we're spirit-filled. Let's take a couple of moments and do that. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for another day of Your grace and for bringing us all here to Country Bible Church in Brenham, Texas. We pray that You'll keep our minds alert tonight and that You'll help us to focus on Your mighty Word so that we can help all these people that are in darkness and help each other that are in the light. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we'll start with current events because everybody knows I love my current events. And they're always interesting. We can have a lot of doctrine, but if you aren't applying it to the world you live in, shame, shame. Okay? Because you got to help other people know about the current events that are going on. So, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, he was over in Europe. He's been there this week, right? Meeting with the European Union. He met with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel yesterday. Okay? And he was talking to her about Germany's economic ties with Iran. And we know Iran is not buddies with Israel, right? Okay, so he was talking with Angela Merkel about their economic ties with Iran. And Germany will say that, you know what, we don't have strong economic ties with Israel. But when you look at the facts, it's not true. Because in 2008, they went up 10% in their economic exports to Iran. And it reached $6 billion in exports to Iran. This is from Germany. Remember what Germany did back in the 40s towards the Jews? Okay, Satan's still working over there, so don't forget it. There is currently German and Finnish communications for radio, television, cell phones. So Finland and Germany are aiding the Iranian regime to crack down on internet and phone and Twitter accounts that have to do with anybody who's protesting anything to do with Iran. So anything that goes against Iran, they're closely watching it, these corporations. I'm not going to admit, one of them is a major one. A lot of us have our cell phones through them. Okay? Well, they are helping to make sure that nobody say anything bad about Iran. And a German company is doing this too, so just keep that in mind and pray for them. Okay? Anybody know what the Twitter account is? Everybody's heard on TV that's pretty huge right now. Twitter is it's an internet thing where basically you can get online and you can type in heading to Country Bible Church, I'm preaching tonight. And everybody who's logged into my account, it'll send them a message so they can know what Ty Furlow is doing tonight. So that's what a Twitter account is, and it's huge now. And everybody's trying to keep up with each other and this whole social network. So if you post something bad on your Twitter about Iran, these German and these Finland companies are cracking down and they'll shut down your account and other things. So just know that that's occurring. Prophecy Today. Great website. Anybody go look at it yet? You've got to. Go look at it. It's wonderful. Every day, go check it out. Jimmy DeYoung, Prophecy Today. The headline today, August 27th. Today the 28th. Okay, the 27th. He's right on. Printed this off today. A Palestinian Islamic judge says there is no history of Jews living in Jerusalem over the last 3,000 years. This is a high-up judge for the Islamic regime. The Palestinian Authority's chief Islamic judge, Sheikh Rajab Tamimi, says that there is no evidence to back up the claims that Jews have ever lived in Jerusalem, or that the Jewish temple ever existed. And the Sheikh claimed that Israeli archaeologists have admitted that Jerusalem was never inhabited by Jews. The Sheikh's announcement was made in response to a recent statement by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu that Jerusalem is not a Jewish settlement and that Jews have been living in Jerusalem over the last 3,000 years. This is what Prime Minister Netanyahu said, is that it is a Jewish settlement and that they're going to be able to build in their own land. So this was the Islamic judge's response to Prime Minister Netanyahu. Tamimi accused Israel of distorting the facts and forging history with the aim of erasing the Arab and Islamic character of Jerusalem and launching an ethnic cleansing campaign to squeeze the Arabs out of the city. This is what the Islamic judge said. Here's Jimmy's perspective news on this, on how this relates to prophecy. For an Islamic cleric to deny the presence of Jewish people in Jerusalem dating back some 3,000 years ago is to negate the history of the Jewish Bible and Bible prophecy that will be fulfilled. It seems difficult for me to believe that someone can make the statement that there has never been a Jewish presence in Jerusalem and on the Temple Mount. Yet that is the statement of the chief Palestinian Islamic judge, which seems to be coming from complete ignorance. In fact, there are a number of accounts of God's Word, the Bible, that challenges the declaration made by Sheikh Rajab Tamimi. The first such account is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, which records the capture of Jerusalem by King David, the second Jewish king. And then 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 18 through 25, report that King David also paid cash money to Ornan, the Jebusite, for his threshing floor on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount, where the king wanted to offer sacrifice. King Solomon built the first Jewish temple on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount, some 3,000 years ago. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Jews returning from the Babylonian captivity rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem 2,500 years ago, Ezra chapter 1 and 6. In fact, a Jewish man named Jesus Christ preached on the Temple Mount, just outside the temple, during his ministry in Jerusalem. That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Jewish history on the Temple Mount is certain, and Bible prophecy about Jews and the city of Jerusalem are absolute. They will be fulfilled. Right? Prophecytoday.com. It's good, isn't it? You have a question?
Yeah, I wonder who that Palestinian Jewish thing that gave him that good woman he made in 1948.
Yeah. Who gave the land back to the Jews in 48, right? Well, they tried again in 67. And it didn't take long at all. You know, I mean, yeah, 6 days, right? In 67, they tried again, and you know what happened? They got obliterated because it said that was going to happen. Mike?
This has been going on for a while. They were denying it. I got a biblical archaeology review magazine from the late 90s, and they tore out underneath the Temple Mount where what was known as Solomon's Stables, and so they could build a mosque underneath.
The Islamics did?
And all this stuff is piled along the side of the Temple Mount, and it was just full of Jewish artifacts, you know. And so they know they're lying through their teeth.
Oh, they're lying. They're lying, but remember, Our war is not against flesh and blood. So these people are being deceived, and we still have to have love for them. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. There are a lot of people who are confused, but don't just automatically just get mad at that human. Even that guy, yeah, he's being deceived, but we still have to pray for him and try to help him. And that's hard to do as human beings for us. We talked about the creature arrogance that Satan started first.
Some of the old biblical archaeology
books and stuff, you can see pictures of it. You know,
they took it
away? Well,
the Muslims have
torn out a section of it and a gas station underneath it. We all know here that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so let's move on
and lunch real quick. What? Do you remember that verse that talks about he will use the threshing stone?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one it is. Oh, they're going to be thrashed. They're going to be thrashed for sure. Okay, more current events. My buddy emailed me today. I don't know if y'all noticed, but Texas high schools are offering a Bible elective class now. So they're offering a Bible elective class in public school. And Canyon High School in New Braunfels, Texas, it's a 4 or 5 day school. I can't remember exactly. It's a big school. They offered the Bible elective class this year for kids. Not enough kids signed up to have the class. A lot of kids in the school. They couldn't even get 20 kids to sign up. So we've got issues in schools right now. We know this. I taught there the last 4 years. So I know. I just talked to you. You're there. So our kiddos are there. You got to pray for them and stand strong in those schools because you got to teach them. got to teach those other kids because they're lost. Okay. Now I can make y'all laugh a little bit, hopefully. We're in Texas, so we like being gun owners, right? We like having our guns. I'm going to try to relate this to physicians. It's estimated that there's 700,000 physicians in the United States. 700,000. It's also estimated that each year, from accidental doctor mistakes, that there's 125,000 deaths because of accidental doctor deaths, or what doctors have done accidentally. Okay? So we had 125,000 divided by the 700,000 doctors. Gives us about 0.171. Okay, that's the probability rate of the accidental part of it. Now, there's about 80 million gun owners, personal gun owners, in the United States currently. Accidental deaths a year because of personal gun owners, 1,500. Now, if you do the math, this gives you 0.0000, I think it's around 1.8, something like that. So basically, if you do the math on it, this tells us that doctors are 9,000 times more dangerous than gun owners. I'd go into lawyers, but then you might get sick and go try to ask a doctor for help. Okay, anybody notice this tonight? Why is he wearing this goofy necklace? Right? I was thinking of Charlie on the way here with stopping at the antique store. Okay, it's a goofy necklace, but follow me here because I'm going to use it for a teaching tool tonight because hopefully I'll get it across to you. I want you to imagine that this necklace here is Genesis 1:1 in Morse code. Okay? Genesis 1:1 in Morse code. If you can imagine, you've got I, a couple of dots with a dash, and then the N, a couple of small dots. I don't know Morse code, but I'm just following me here with your thinking. Okay? Now, the mathematics of what I say to you might not be exact, but they're close. What do you think the chance is that this happened by chance? That these beads all ended up on this necklace? There's 357 beads. If I was to take, there's two colors. I've got red and yellow. So what's the chance that that happened? Let's follow the line of thinking and say this is chance that these beads. We took two cups, one full of red beads and one full of yellow. We pour them together. And then we get a string and we pour all the beads on the string. Does anybody here think that that would end up in Genesis 1:1 in Morse code? Not a Democrat in the bunch. Man. I know I might get letters. Totally joking on that. Let's do the math. We're doing math tonight a little bit. I love math. So we're going to try to do some math. If you go 2, there's two colors on this necklace. Raise it to the 357th power, which is how you would find out the probability if we follow this line of thinking, okay? Basically, it would give us somewhere around 3 to the 107th power. Okay? 3 to 107th power. That's 107 zeros after it for math. Anybody who likes math. Science, according to science, anything to the 50th power is considered absurd. So anything above the 50th power in mathematics is considered absurd, not realistic, according to science. I think it's Borel's law. Okay, anything over the 50th power. This is only 357 beads. Two different colors. Let's take something more simple. Your hemoglobin. There's a molecule in you in your blood, your hemoglobin. It's not 357, but rather it is 574 elements. Now we have two colors we chose from. Take hemoglobin and it's 574. And you're not choosing from 2, but 20. How many amino acids are there? Think back to science class. 20. This is your hemoglobin molecule. Now, if we do the math on just how that hemoglobin molecule comes together, I know you love math back there, but these numbers are not exact. Okay? If you do a hemoglobin molecule in our body, you're looking at 10 to the 650th.
10 to the 650th. Anything in science's terms says anything to 50 is absurd. But our molecule is to the 650th. This is just a simple hemoglobin molecule. If even one of these 574 elements are out of place, you get what's called hemoglobinopathy. That's fatal. You'll die. If you were to think about this, and let's say that the Earth is 15 billion years old. Let's just say it is. And break it down to seconds. That would be 10 to the 18th in seconds. If you were considering this a 15 billion year old Earth. So now think about the perspective of 10 to the 650th. We're talking about a simple binary strain here with two colors. I haven't even touched on DNA. They're teaching currently in the public school system that this was an act of chance. Even though science will tell you that to the 50th power is absurd. So when you're in a public school system, you want to know that we didn't just evolve from something. There was somebody who created us. Somebody massive and powerful and extremely infinite that would boggle our minds more than we could ever imagine. And that's why for all eternity, we just get to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. These small things on earth we look at and go, whoa. That's what's being taught in school right now. And they can't even get 20 kids to get a Bible elective class. These are the times that we live in, y'all. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Let me know later how that math was, okay? I know it's not exact, but it's close. Y'all, I didn't make that stuff up. I'm not some mathematician that good. Chuck Missler. Some people have heard of Chuck Missler. He's a real good dispensationalist who goes up to the pre-trib conference. I heard him teach that. And I thought, that's too good not to teach. So Chuck Missler, go check him out on the internet. Type in Chuck Missler. He studies a lot of stuff that's really on the edge of science. It'll make your mind just, whoa. But it's good witnessing tools because I find that people here on earth are attracted towards empiricism. Stuff they can touch and think about. So when you say stuff like this, if they're humble at all, if they're really thinking, you can maybe turn a light bulb on. So use empirical things. Of course, use the Word of God, most importantly. Okay, Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all without excuse by looking at the world around us. If you get to the age of accountability, and you see the world and the stars at night, and you realize, this is too magnificent, somebody must have created this. If you're positive, the world will bring the gospel message to you at that point. If you're not, you've rejected it. And you're going to have John 3:36 and go to hell forever. We're without excuse by what has been made. So we're going towards science tonight in the Bible. Scientific facts that are found in the Bible. And I titled it Science, or the Bible, True Science. It's all found in the Bible. No matter if public school wants to say it or not. And private school, not just public school. I'm not going to make you flip through all this tonight, but if you'll just follow along with your minds and really think it through, maybe a couple of these we will. Don't worry about flipping back and forth because it would be a lot. We might not even go the whole hour tonight, but we don't have to go an hour each time. Sometimes we can go over. So we'll just get our minds thinking and then take it out into this world. Okay? All right. Scientific facts in the Bible off of Country Bible Church's website. Mike Smith, I believe, wrote this up. Anybody read it? Read it? It's good. Mike's got a lot of good stuff on his website. Go take advantage of it. In the doctrinal section, his visuals, man, it's good. Scientific facts in the Bible. Number one, the universe is expanding. The universe is expanding. Isaiah 40:22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. I know a lot of scientists believe in what theory? Big Bang. I don't believe in it. Even if it was true, it says he stretched out the heavens anyways. So, I mean, I'm not advocating for the Big Bang at all. And I know what the Lord did, he created like that. But it does seem as though Isaiah 40:22 says that he stretched out the heavens as a curtain. Not only here, but at least 7 other times in Scripture it says this. The heavens are stretched out like a curtain. Scientific facts found in the Bible. Science has found now that yes, the universe is expanding. After it was already written. That's number one. The universe is expanding. Number two, scientific fact found in the Bible. The earth is round. This seems like such a simple one. I mean, but before it was discovered, it wasn't. People were afraid to go sail a certain distance because they would what? Fall off. Into where? You know, but that's what they were afraid of. Not Christopher Columbus. He said the following. It was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. There is no question the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous illumination from the Holy Scriptures. That came from his diary in reference to his discovery of the New World. Columbus, in his diary. And the scripture that he was referring to? Job 26:10. He has inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. So he's looking at that scripture and saying, wow, he has inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. It's a circle. So he went looking for it, according to the scriptures. That was number two, the earth is round. Scientific facts in the Bible. We're staying in Job, and we're going to go back 3 verses to Job 26:7. And here the Lord told us that the earth hangs on nothing. It says, he stretches out the north over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. That's literal. It wasn't metaphorical. You didn't have to think hard on that one. But science has to think that they have to figure out the gnosis on their own without just being humble in 1 John 1:9 like we do when we come here and let the Holy Spirit teach us. I'm sure there's a lot more than we haven't gotten to yet that are in the Bible that are right in front of our eyes, by the way. You know, progressive revelation does occur as long as we're here. So be humble, go to your room, let the Holy Spirit show it to you, and then come tell me. Tell all of us, because then we can go tell other people. Because this is too cool to pass over. So the earth hangs on nothing. Less than 200 years ago, through the advent of massive telescopes, science learned about the great empty space in the north. The Bible claimed that the earth freely floated in space. Science then thought that the earth sat on a large animal. They always have to find something. They have to one-up God. There's some good scientists. Don't get me off on thinking the scientists are bad people. There's some really good scientists who are studying according to the Bible. I don't know if I printed it off, but I'll try to explain it to you. There's some guys at NASA that have helped out according to the Bible. Here's a good one. I skipped number 3. So number 3 was the earth hangs on nothing. It's 4 here, but I skipped 3 because I didn't feel like talking about it because I didn't fully understand it yet. Number 4, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. Scientific facts found in the Bible. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Pretty straightforward again. Although up until 120 years ago, when somebody was sick, doctors would do what was called bloodletting. And they would empty out their blood, thinking that that would get rid of the sickness. But all it did was kill them. Because the life is where? In the blood. It says it. Leviticus 17:11. The doctors hadn't figured it out until recently. Number five, air currents are constantly circling the earth. I caught some rain on the way here. Air currents were moving on the earth. A little spot over by Green Vine where Mike lives. Ecclesiastes 1:6. Blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north, the wind continues swirling along, and on its circular courses, the wind returns. I know when I was in high school, I went to Wimberley High School, they taught that. They didn't ever show me Ecclesiastes 1:6 for sure. If they would have just shown me Ecclesiastes 1:6, I would have understood the whole chapter. They're going to all these other terminologies instead of just opening up Ecclesiastes 1:6. Air currents are constantly circling the earth. You're allowed to bring your Bible to school, by the way. I taught a public school system, and I had my Bible on my desk. I had a lot of people tell me I wasn't allowed to. I said, sure, show me the law where it says that. It's not fair. So don't anybody tell you you can't. You're allowed to take your Bible out. You can read it at school. It's the number one science textbook on the earth. So take it, because then you can show somebody the truth. Number 6. Rain comes from the process of evaporation. This one's a cool one. The very next verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. Beautifully written. Simple, yet beautiful. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. Have you been taught the water cycle? Sure you have. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7. Put it in your memory. The Mississippi River dumps over 6 million gallons of water per second into the Gulf of Mexico. Where does all that water go? That's just one of the thousands of rivers that dump into the Gulf of Mexico. Well, I'm not sure if the Gulf, but into the oceans. The answer lies in the hydraulic cycle, something that was not fully accepted until the 16th and the 17th centuries. 2,500 years after the Bible said that God takes the waters of the sea and pours them upon the face of the earth. 2,500 years after they figured it out, when it was written. Number 7. Star clusters and constellations are named. Star clusters and constellations are named. Man named the animals, but the Lord named the stars. And for a reason. Because they don't change. Even through all different languages, I don't care if it's Greek, Russian, English, French, most of the star names are all the same wherever you go. So if you go over to Russia and are mentioning one of the stars in Orion, they're going to know what you're talking about because they have the same star name, from my understanding of looking at the subject matter. Now this is massive because each star name represents something and it means something. This is a different study. I'm not going to go too far down this tangent, but it's very fascinating. There's a good book you can write down. It's called God's Message in the Stars. I suggest it. It's good. Mike suggested it to me. I read it. Wonderful. Go look it up. Fleming, F-L-E-M-M-I-N-G, is the one I think wrote it. Now, Job 38:31. Job is considered maybe the oldest book in the Bible. You think so? Maybe. It says, Job 38:31. Can you bind the chains of Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? That's what he's talking about, his own magnificence. I'm the Lord, not you. Me. I'm the one who binds the chains of Pleiades and looses the cords of Orion. Speaking of astronomy, astronomy. Mars, right now, if you go outside at night and look up, Mars is huge right now. If you like looking at the stars, go out tonight and check it out. Mars is absolutely fascinating right now when you go look at it. And tomorrow night, Friday night, 28th, is the largest that Mars will be in the sky to our eye ever for the rest of our lifetime, from my understanding of what I've been reading on space.com or somewhere. So go look at it. I was looking at it 5 or 6 nights ago, and it's, whoa, that can't be Mars. It looks like a huge star. So go check it out tonight. And tomorrow night is supposed to be the best. I think you can go out at 10, 11 o'clock and see it. I would look towards the south, perhaps, I think. South, which way? Southwest? Yeah, just, you'll find it. It ain't going to be hard. In the south? If you just gaze up into the stars and look around, you're going to see it. So just go check it out. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating and beautiful. And it's red. You can see the redness. It's so big. Okay, that was number 7. Star clusters and constellations were named. There's a zodiac line that goes over the earth. Heard of the zodiac before? There's 12 constellations that sit on the zodiac. The very first one that comes around is Virgo, representing the virgin birth. God's message is in the stars. The Holy Scriptures weren't completely written at the time of Abraham. So how can he teach Isaac? Come outside with me, son. You see that? That's Virgo. Each one of these stars represents a part of the story. Christ will be born of a virgin. And so each month, father would take their son out. This is me thinking in my own mind. But, you know, after reading that book that Mike recommended, and the fact that the stars haven't changed and they're not changing, but Virgo is the virgin birth. And then you get all the way to the last of the 12 on the zodiac line, and it's Leo, the king, the lion. The king's coming back, setting up his kingdom. It's a good study. It's fascinating. And I plan on teaching Adeline through the stars. And take her out and say, look, little Rosie, this is that star, and God named it. We didn't name it. God did. And this is what the meaning of that star is. Stars are fascinating to children and adults. So if we just take time to look at them and then use that with the scriptures, whoa, powerful. All right, number 8. Actually, turn to Romans chapter 10 first. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and verse 17. I'll wait because everybody's not there yet. Don't read it yet. Just wait. We'll read it together. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Let's read 18 one more time. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Go ahead and flip over to... You see how that's in all caps? That's a quotation from the Old Testament. So let's go find it. Psalm chapter 19 and see what their voice is referring to. Psalm chapter 19. Okay, starting with verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. What Paul was quoting in Romans 10, 19 was what? Their voice has gone out? The stars. That's what it's talking about. It's teaching us in the stars. So you can go do your own little study on that. But Romans 10, he's quoting back to Psalm 19. And it says, look at verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. Their line there, I'm not dogmatic on this, could mean the zodiac, where the constellations are found on. Once again, I'm not dogmatic on that. I haven't done an in-depth study. But I know the people I have studied on said that that's the case. Guys that I trust. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Isn't science in the Bible fascinating? It's fascinating. Anybody's not fascinated by this? Okay, the next one. Number 9. Stars are so numerous that they cannot be counted. Jeremiah 33, verse 22. The stars are so numerous they cannot be counted. Written 2,500 years ago. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured. That's great. I love the poetical mindset. Yes, ma'am. The orderly movements of constellations through the sky. I didn't do that one, did I? I skipped over it. Okay, we'll just say number 8 is the one I just said. Stars are so numerous they cannot be counted. Number 8. That was Jeremiah 33:22 to look at that one. No problem. Thank you. So number 9 will say, the orderly movement of constellations through the sky. It's in order. The Lord did it on purpose. Also in Job, chapter 38:32. Can you lead forth a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her satellites? He really laid it on him, didn't he? You're just sitting there thinking, nope, I can't do that. I can look at them, they're pretty, but I can't have anything to do with the controlling of them. That was 38:32 of Job. The orderly movement of constellations through the skies. That was number 9. Number 8 was the stars are so numerous they can't be counted. You can put this off at Country Bible Church and go to... You can go to the doctrinal section and look up scientific facts in the Bible and print it off. These are great to use with people. Definitely awesome. So we just said the stars are so numerous they can't be counted. Scientists are now understanding that they think our galaxy is one of billions of galaxies. Just think about that for a second. They're starting to look out there really far with the Hubble telescope and other telescopes, and they're saying that our galaxy is one of billions of galaxies. I'm sure y'all seen that poster where it shows the Earth and how it is in comparison to the galaxy. If you haven't, it's utterly amazing just to make you feel how really finite we are here on Earth. And that the Lord loves us? Who am I? Number 10. This is a good one. This is interesting. The Bible said that when dealing with disease, hands should be washed under running water. So when a physician, one of the 700,000, is about to perform something, they need to wash their hands with running water. Written 3,000 years ago, Leviticus 15:13. And when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. It sounds simple to us now, living in 2009, that yeah, you'd use running water. But up until over 100 years ago, doctors thought if they had still water in a basin, just still water, that was the best method. So they would wash their hands in still water, and then would do the surgery, which resulted in horrible disease and would kill people, kind of like the bloodletting. If we would only read our Bible sooner. Right? That's a good one. Leviticus 15:13 was that one. The Bible said when dealing with disease, your hands should be washed in the running water. Number 11. I got a star next to this one. Science expresses the universe in 5 different terms. Science, and you'll see this because I remember I taught it. 5 different terms is the way science expresses the universe. They say time, power, space, matter, and motion. I'll repeat them. Time, power, space, matter, and motion. That's how science describes the universe. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll go to the very beginning. Which wasn't the beginning, right? Let's get confusing. Okay, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then we go to a little bit further in verse 2. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. If you look at in the beginning, that represents time. According to science, in the beginning, time. God created. That certainly is power. The heaven, that's space. And the earth. That's matter. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters? Motion. that interesting? That's interesting to me. I was looking at that going, that's why I got a star next to it. Isn't that fascinating? Those five, all written there right in the first two verses. That's amazing. Okay, let's go to, that was number 11. Science expresses the universe in five terms. We're skipping 13. You can go look at it at home. I wasn't sure if I fully believed it. So I'm not, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying it's wrong. Just go look at it. I mean, you may. I wanted to go study it further before I just say it. I'm not sure I'm completely dogmatic on the last one I'm saying. This is all just fascinating stuff. Doesn't mean that it's absolute truth. It's just stuff to make your mind think. Some of it is. I skipped 12. What was I just on? Yeah, now I'm going to 12.
Thank you.
Yep. Number 12. The existence of ocean currents. Ocean currents. Psalm 8, verse 8. Psalm 8:8 says, "And the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas." I'll repeat it. Psalm 8:8. "And the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas." What does the Bible mean by paths of the seas? Underwater currents. Yeah, you're right. The sea is just a huge mass of water. How then could it have paths? Man discovered the existence of ocean currents in the 1850s. But the Bible declared the science of oceanography 2,800 years ago. Matthew Morey lived from 1806 to 1873. I went and read a little bit about him today and yesterday. He's considered to be the father of oceanography. He was bedridden with serious illness, and he asked his son to read to him some of the Bible. Guess what he read him? Psalm 8:8. And as he listened to it, he said, "Wait a minute." He noticed the expression "paths of the seas." Upon his recovery from illness, Molly took God at his word and went looking for these paths. His book on oceanography is still considered a basic text on the subject, and it's still used in universities. Just like Christopher Columbus, what he said in his diary, the Holy Spirit moved him. He does it to all of us. That was 13?
That was
12.
Yeah, you said
you were... You know, I knew when I crossed them out, I was going to confuse myself. I knew it. Just go print them off. You'll have them. We're doing good. So this is 13. There are mountains on the ocean floors. Mountains on the ocean floors. Jonah, of course, would be the one to tell us this. Where was he at? Humorous, too. The Lord is humorous. That's why he gave us a sense of humor. Jonah 2, verse 6, written 2,800 years ago. 2, verse 6 of Jonah. "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet have you brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." When Jonah was in the depths of the ocean, he spoke of going down to the bottom of the mountains. Only in recent years has man discovered that there are mountains on the ocean floor. Now, the greatest ocean depth is where? I know y'all know this. What trench is it? Mariana. Good. Mariana. This is at a distance of 35,798 feet below the top of the ocean. 35,798 feet down. Put that in comparison, Mount Everest, at its peak, is 29,035 feet. So it goes way deeper down in the ocean than even Mount Everest. And Jonah, 2,800 years ago, down there hanging out. And the Lord took care of him. He says, oh Lord my God. Man. Okay, the next one, I guess this is 14. Try to stay on track. This is 14? You keep me on track. 14. The sun is moving through the space. Our sun is moving through space. Psalm chapter 19, verse 4 through 6. 19, verse 4 through 6 of Psalm. "In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I'll say it again, especially that second part. His going forth, referring to the sun, is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Pretty fascinating. Bible critics have scoffed at these verses, saying that they teach that the sun revolves around the earth. Science told them that the sun was stationary. Science. Then they discovered that the sun is in fact moving through space at approximately 600,000 miles per hour. It's traveling through the heavens as a circuit, just like the Bible told us. It's estimated that its circuit is so large, it would take 200 million years to complete one circuit. Amazing. And he spoke, and this happened. And he loves us. Whew. Number 15? 15? I know, I can't get it, man. Number 15. The first law of thermodynamics. The first law of thermodynamics. First law of it's a big scary word, but it's really not that scary. The first law of thermodynamics says the following. It states that neither matter nor energy can be either created or destroyed. By us, that is. And so we can't create matter, we can't destroy matter. Now we know who can create matter. The first law of thermodynamics was mentioned in Genesis 2, chapter 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. The Hebrew word that was used there is in the past definite tense for the verb finished. It indicates an action that is completed in the past, never again to occur. God created it, finished it, never again to occur, right? Humans aren't going to create matter. Only the Lord has the possibility to do that. The first law of thermodynamics, Genesis 2:1, right in the beginning. Next one. 16. Circumcision is to be carried out on the eighth day. This one's fascinating. This was said in the Bible a long time ago for the Hebrews. And now science has understood recently that on the eighth day of human life, we have in our blood what's called prothrombin. If I could say that word, it's a tough one. Prothrombin. It's a blood clotting mechanism that helps to clot blood if something like circumcision occurs. So the Lord told us to do it on day 8. Now science understands why. Day 8. Genesis 17, verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He said 8 day for a reason. Okay? Because prothrombin is the highest of your entire human life. Even when you go through your life, that's the highest day. The Lord knows what He's doing. It's Genesis 17, verse 12. Yes, ma'am. We got two more. So thanks for hanging tight. Two more. I'd go through these all night long. Aren't these just fascinating? Go print these off and take them to people, man. They're just awesome. Here's the next one. 17. Proper amount of water on the earth. There is the exact amount of water on the earth that needs to be here. Isaiah 40.12, written 2,800 years ago. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who did that? The Lord. We can't do it. We are told that God measured the waters and set up a proper amount of water on the earth. Modern science has proved now that the quantity of water on earth is just enough for our needs as humans. If the sea became 3 meters deeper, the water would absorb all the carbon dioxide and nitrogen, and no creature can live any longer. So the Lord knew exactly what he was doing with the amount of water he put here. And that's not even taking into consideration the whole pre-flood, post-flood thing and the expanse of the heaven. I mean, this is, he knows what he's doing. Last one. The second law of thermodynamics. Matter is wearing out. It says here in Hebrews 1, verse 10 and 11. And you, Lord, in the beginning have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you remain. And they all shall wax old as does a garment. This earth looks like it's falling apart to me, right? And then you'll meet all these humans that want to just recycle every single thing they have. I'm not downing recycling. It's good to be a steward on the earth and take care of it. But if you're recycling for the purpose of thinking that you're just going to somehow maintain the earth, go read 2 Peter chapter 3. This one's done away with. And we're going to have a brand new one. It's better than we're going to live on forever. And that's a whole other story because there's no seas there. What does that mean? He knows how much land, you know? That's amazing. So science, the Bible, the true textbook of science. Take it to school. You're more than allowed to, and don't let anybody tell you not. If they try to tell you that, come talk to me and Mike, and we'll go get them. Okay? Because that would be fun. In a loving way. Seriously. Let's close. But you have a question? What's up? You too. You live there.
Also, they teach evolution, and they use all these scientific terms, and I use one too. Newton's theory of cause and effect. Nothing happens without a cause. So they say evolution happens just out of nowhere. Well, how do you get the cause? It just happens. So it isn't. And they can't. My science teachers have never can't answer that. They can't deal with global warming. They 1980 they did they had something called global cooling, and they put black soot all over polar caps. And my science teachers couldn't even answer anything for that too.
Keep asking your questions.
They get mad at me too.
Who cares? If they hate you, Matthew, that's what, in Matthew it says what? If they hate you, they hated me first. That's in Matthew, I think, right? If not, it's in one of the Gospels, but accept that hate and be joyous with it. And you keep asking questions, like Mike always says, ask questions. If you ask questions to your teachers right in front of them, not to belittle them, but to make their minds think, in front of all the other kiddos there, you're going to be powerful. And after this, you come up and grab this from me. This one's yours. Okay? We've got to do that. Man, oh man, what a great Lord that we serve. There's something else that came to my mind when you said that. Oh yeah, people will talk about Roswell. You said global warming. People will ask, they ask Chuck Missler about Roswell and what happened there and how come it's still classified for 50 years after it happened. And he states, I don't know what happened to Roswell, but I do know what happened 9 months later. Al Gore was born. Nine months later. Okay. Let's close. I'm nothing, man. I love the Lord. Let's pray. Okay, Father, we're so thankful that you've given us the textbook. It teaches us science, sociology, mathematics, history, English, everything. It is the textbook. And we pray that you'll just continue to give us all a hunger and a desire to let you teach us more about these amazing truths so that we can go help people in our own congregation and also all of those non-believers that are surrounding us, that we could be confident with the Word of God that you've given us. We could take it to them and show them the truth so that they can just simply place their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, so they can live forever with you on a new heavens and new earth. Please just keep us all safe driving home night. Protect our paths. We pray that you will just continue to lead us and keep us firm till the day that you take us home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.